eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to Family Feud, part of the Paris Style podcast family. They might not be brother and sister, but they sure do fight like they are. Here's your hosts, Keely Yore and Shotgun Spratling.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Feud podcast. I'm your host, Keely Yore, joined by cousin of the pod, Chris Trevino. And the ghost of Shotgun's rattling. We thought we were going to get him back for this episode. And yet the man can't set an alarm. Yes.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
You
but
love doing the ghost of Shotgun's rattling. He's alive and well.
True.
Quick fake corporate sponsor. Alarm clocks. Get one.
Shotgun. Yes. Well, first off, apologies that it's been a while since we've had a Family Feud podcast. Shotgun was in quarantine for what felt like 9 years. And then we finally got him back this week and he managed to screw it up still.
And Keely doesn't like doing podcasts just with me.
That's so false. You just get different. Helium boys. I'm going to
internalize that and I'm going to dish it back out. I'm going to internalize that and I'm going to dish it back out over the next 45 minutes or whatever.
Sure. So we're calling an audible right now. We had a whole like normal in-season podcast plan, stock up, stock down, heard it on the sidelines, take it or leave it. But it just doesn't work when the trio isn't together. So we're going to do basically a reaction pod to the last 24 hours. Of course, you know, Clay Helton was fired. He's no longer USC's head coach. We got to see our first practice in the Dante Williams era, if you will. He took over as interim head coach. We got to talk to him after practice. Athletic director Mike Bone, and then three of USC's four captains to see, you know, how they're kind of feeling after a major transition. So we'll talk about that. It'll be kind of a shorter episode because we want to get this up before Wednesday's practice. As a reminder, if you guys have questions or submissions for the pod, do email us at familyfeudpod@gmail.com. We appreciate you guys submitting to the show. We love hearing from you. Chris, like I just introed, it's going to be a unique episode, but it's a unique week. Clay Helton, no longer the man in charge.
Wild. I just want to set the mood right quick. Maybe set the mood's the wrong turn of phrase there. But how I found out, I'm sure you guys have talked about it on Tunnel Vision.
Kind of.
But I just want to relay what I was doing.
Okay.
When
yeah.
it came down.
Like a where were you moment.
So as you know, in reporting, especially like college football reporting, we have this joke where like, if someone is out doing something, you always have to kind of give the other person a heads up, like, hey, I'm going to go grocery shopping or something. I'm leaving my computer. So if something happens, you hold down the fort.
This is like 7 days a week. Chris and I will like tell each other if we're going to be out for a bit.
We're just like, because something usually happens.
What's my response to you usually? I'm like, okay.
Oh, you just, what did you summon?
Like, yeah. Thanks for summoning that news whenever he's gone for a couple hours.
So I had a really busy morning that morning. I was out and about. I was running a bunch of errands, sent my ballot in, went to Costco. I'm just astounded that the story did not break while I was in Costco with poor service or whatever. But I was literally gotten home from Costco, unloaded everything, packed everything away. I was shirtless. I was eating some grapes, and I was getting ready to work on some stories that I had put off until today, like some Washington State prep stuff.
Yeah.
So I was just graping.
Graping.
Putting on a movie to watch while I work.
Nice.
And then I get the text, Clay Helton's been fired from you, in our group chat with the whole team, and I wrote, oh my God. And as it was like, I feel like it was like 1:11 or something. That was the time.
It was like 2.
It was 2? Okay. So time moved very slow, yes. Weirdly in, yes. that pocket. So, and usually I'm very quick to jump on stuff when
you're
stuff
Johnny
happens.
You're Johnny on the spot.
But I was frozen, Keely. I was a popsicle deep frozen in the back of a freezer, the one that's all frozen, but I could not do anything. I was frozen for a little bit, like at least like a minute. I was like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. We have a Clay Helton is Fired story from like 2 years ago. It's in the back archives. What do I do? Oh my God, I don't know. So luckily, our 247 desk, shout out to the 247 desk.
Shouts.
They were ready. They had something going. We just used that. Because it didn't really matter at that point, because every site in the world is going to have a Clay Helton is
Fired. Yeah, we're not going to get,
it's like we're not going to, it, who cares? The desk can get it up faster. They'll do it. So we let them do it. And shout out to them. They did a lot of like fleshed out content around that. Like, here's Dante Williams, what you need to know, what USC needs to look for in its next coach, all that stuff. So that we could focus on other stuff. You guys obviously rushed to maybe broke, I don't know, 10 traffic laws getting to the studio.
Okay. Well, first off, let me just say I do not promote reckless driving at all. And usually I never text and drive. This was just a very unique circumstance. I feel like I need to repent for the amount of scrolling, texting, and driving I did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was not.
I hope there's no cops listening.
Great. I'm sorry to all the cop community listeners. I was driving away from Shotgun's house. We just did film study, and I have like every tweet alert known to man related to USC I was on high alert. I had a gut feeling that this was embarrassing enough that this would happen. And like so much so that I texted you guys, I texted my roommates, like if something happens when I'm sleeping, Kool-Aid into my room, let me know. And so Kool-Aid man into my room.
Right. You want to dump Kool-Aid on you? I didn't understand, but now Kool-Aid man into the room.
Yeah, Kool-Aid man in, yeah. I feel like people just want us to talk about the news and not us finding out about the news. But
and look, first of all, everyone's talking about the news. Let us bring a unique perspective
to the news.
That
no one cares about.
If you're listening to Family Feud, you know it gets weird here.
It does.
It gets weird here. If it was your first time. Welcome. Yeah. We're not going to be straight-laced. No. It gets weird here.
I'm going to have a podcast with Ryan tomorrow, and I have some insider info that I'll drop on that, so stay tuned. But this is the Chris and Keely show now.
If you don't follow Keely, follow Keely. She's been Baskin Robinson out here, just scooping everyone. She's got the scoop. She's got a good piece coming out later this week.
Oh, so. Wow. You're just dropping. Wow.
Whatever. Okay. I can do what I want. Shotgun's here. He can't talk over me. I have more time to talk. So okay, let me talk.
Yeah. So I pulled over on the side of the road, was calling Ryan like a madman. Ryan, of course, was somehow getting a massage during this time, was not answering. I called you, and you just sounded stunned. I remember calling you and saying, are you okay? And you were like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's like your field general is like shell-shocked in the heat of battle. And you're like, oh, now I'm rattled.
It was a little weird because usually you're like, okay, we're doing this, we're doing this. I already have like 400 words up, blah, 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 blah. And you were just flight or fright, freeze, whatever that response is, that was you.
Fight or flight.
There's also fight, flight, or fawn. Fawn. Where you like kind of like.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I feel like I would fawn.
Yeah, I think you
sometimes
did.
Your brain just freezes.
I get that. I definitely get
one
that.
One time I was playing this game where all I had to do was name a movie that had won an Academy Award. And I had 30 seconds and I could not do it.
What?
I literally froze. I could not do it. That's what it felt like.
Okay.
It's a running joke with my friends. Like, it's like the hardest thing to do, like name a movie with an Academy Award. It just any movie. I just couldn't do it.
Wow.
It's like that clip of name a woman. name a woman.
Name any woman.
And she couldn't do it for a dollar. So sometimes that's a real thing where your brain is just so inundated.
Makes sense. Anyway, we get to the studio, we do television craziness. Trojans Live, we get to hear from Dante and Mike Bone, and then practice. We showed up to practice early to kind of get the feel. Did it feel different for you on Tuesday?
It felt, I wrote this in my ghost notes, but it felt normal, but also somehow new.
It felt a little like quiet. Like there was just kind of a quietness. It wasn't actually quiet, but there was kind of like
lulls.
It was lulls.
Like a calmness.
A weird calm. It was like an eerie calm, I would say.
Right. Everything felt normal except, obviously, no Clay Helton and a ton more media.
Oh yeah.
We knew it was going to be there's four house. Media trucks.
Yeah.
Everyone and their grandma had a camera at practice. It was just very packed in the media pen. So that was the thing. And then obviously just like Dante.
Yeah.
Everyone, that's just a dumb sentence I just said, but Dante, obviously all the attention was on Dante and I spent a lot of time watching him in practice.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was confident. He was ready for the moment. And obviously it's just practice, you know, it's not the game or whatever, but I saw from my perspective, it looked like he was like handling the moment. He was like, this is what I'm in charge. You could tell he was in charge. You could tell he was the head coach.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was
he wasn't timid about it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he was like screaming or trying to assert dominance. This is kind of just the MO of Dante to begin with. Like he's always had this calm, like confident personality that's like, I know what I'm doing and like I know people respect me.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like what you put out, what you get.
He
you know?
Didn't need to, like you said, stomp and shout and show. I'm the head coach.
Yeah, visual
look
bit.
At me now.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm just you he's probably heard him in the chair. But he was very, you know, he used his voice when he needed to. There were a couple times where it was like, come on, get the energy going, let's go. Or he would pull a player to the side and talk to them, stuff like that. And it was just like weird watching him like watch wide receiver routes.
Right.
It was just like a weird thing watching him watch special teams as closely as he was or not be with the DBs like every second.
I mean, that was the funny thing he said after practice. He said, I'm a competitive person. I root for my position group. I root for the defense. And he said it was really weird getting excited when the quarterback makes a good throw
and the wide receiver
makes a good catch. Yeah. So he was saying like it's a little weird to root for the whole team in practice, but I think he's getting used to it. But I thought it was interesting how I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, Dante's new coach. That means air raid's completely gone now.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems like too much too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. Okay. You've got rid of Clay Helton, the coach who's been here for what, 6 years? That's major enough.
Yeah.
You don't need to go and make it not worse, but you don't need to put more
fuel to the fire.
Yeah, fuel to the fire and another massive change and like, okay, we needed to switch up the whole offense going to Washington State. No, you need to just get the new leader in place. Dante, you've done that. And then he just has to stabilize everything. You just
make the transition smoother.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep cutting everything up and just make it all
more
this
chaotic. Yeah.
Yeah, with these 18 to 22 year olds.
Shots to shotgun.
Shotgun says you need to keep them on their toes, but too much on their toes can be a bad thing too.
Yeah. And Dante said that, you know, he had to observe the offense just to kind of get some of the lingo, you know, that's how much he was invested on the defensive side of things, obviously. So my point being, like, it wasn't like he was going to be like, I know the jet sweep pro right 18. That was a Pop Warner play for me. And
nice.
I'm going to change it around. Like, he still needs to learn that lingo.
Quick question. What was that? What was your role in that play?
I was the tight end. I did the
you did the.
I did the sweep.
You did the sweep.
Yeah. Okay. Pro right. I was on the right side.
Okay, nice.
Thanks.
Nice that it's stuck there in your brain.
It's because I was so terrified because that meant I was getting the ball. So that was pro right 18 sweep. That was it. Yeah.
A pitch to Johnny. But I'm Johnny. No? Little Giants fans? If you know that...
I just know Icebox because that was me. Everyone goes, oh, you were Icebox. And then, I was.
You should watch the movie.
I probably should,
You should watch the movie.
Dante also said he kind of changed things up a little bit, not too much at practice. I feel like we were talking about, we noticed more scout team work.
Yeah. And then obviously he started with an 11-on-11 period.
Yeah, team run.
They did the team, the classic team warm-up. And then... You know, the team usually gets together for a break. And then you notice all the coaches kind of migrate to this, to the main field. And then they broke. And then, like, they were all starting getting hype. And then they went to, you know, defense on one side, offense on the other side. Little team, not full tackle. Just kind of ones versus twos, vice versa, offense versus defense kind of drill. And then they went into more of a, you know, what we've seen for the most of the year. You know, special teams, individual work. You know, 7-on-7, later one-on-ones. But yes, a little bit more scout is what the big pickup that we noticed.
Yeah. It was just so weird because this isn't the first time that I've had to observe this, you know? Like, okay, the main guy is gone and we're going to act like business as usual, but everyone knows that this is kind of weird to a certain extent. Like, it just felt, it brought me back to when I was covering USC as a college student and the whole Sark drama happened. It was really surreal just to have similar feelings to that, which I hadn't, I guess, really observed in a long time. And also just the fact that, as Ryan tweeted, we had seen Clay Helton for over a decade at practice, mm-hmm. whether it was under Lane Kiffin or Sark or as interim, as head coach, he was always there. And so the fact that he wasn't there, it was like, it almost felt like, oh, there's a substitute teacher or something. You know, it was a little weird in that sense because that's what we've known for so long. So that in itself was kind of weird. Like, even thinking about like injury updates earlier on Tuesday, I was like, I'll ask Clay about that after practice. And I was like, oh,
no, I will not.
It's still surreal. And talking to some people around the program, it's definitely kind of surreal to them that it's actually done. You know, there was so much talking about it for so long that now that it's actually happened, I think it's taken everyone a little bit of like, it's made it a little surreal because it's been talked about so long, but it actually happened.
Yeah, you push the big red button. It's done. Now this is the new world, and it's going to be a wild, interesting season. We mentioned it several times. We forget there's still a season. There's a game on Saturday. You're going,
yeah, I'm going to Pullman
in like 2 days.
I know, which is just crazy. And I'm not even on this team, you know, like I'm just covering it. I can only imagine what they're going through. But yeah, I mean, talking to Shotgun on Instant last night, I was like, oh, right, it's Washington State week. Like, we still have to prep for that. And the team does. And so it's a lot to try and handle it. And Dante talked about that in his presser. He was like, we still have a team to face. And the last question he got was, well, what are you seeing from Washington State? And to Dante's credit, he just rattled off all his scouting report on Wazoo. But it's one of those things where, again, it's reminding me of Clay Helton takes over and USC has to go to South Bend and play. It's like, oh, right, they're playing Notre Dame. It's just kind of such a surreal moment because this is so USC. It's just like, how is this a pattern? But it is.
But it's also so early in the season, too.
Yeah.
It's like week three.
I know. And Ben Griffiths talked about that. He said, not many times in sport do you get a reset button. And so they're kind of treating this as a restart. You know, it's just one game. That's what Pull 'Em Out said. And Drake London, when we talked to them, it's just one game. It's a North opponent. And everyone still says the Clay Helton phrase. They still control their own destiny. And it's true. I mean, I think that's the smart timing about making this move when Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna and the whole athletic department did. You still can salvage the season. And I mean, it's questionable.
Absolutely, yeah, you have the talent.
You have the talent, but now you aren't in the conundrum of picking up unimpressive wins and having a record that might not lend itself to firing your head coach. You know, I think that's what USC fans feared.
That's given not hanging over their heads anymore.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a who cares, not a who cares, but
they have house money.
They can't
lose.
Exactly.
They can lose, but they won't lose because it's just everyone understands the situation.
Yeah.
But I think there is still expectation just because they are a talented team. They're going to win some games this year.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose every game. And Ben even cited, you know, the 2016 team, the Rose Bowl team that started off with a crappy start. And they went on this incredible run to make the Rose Bowl. That is in play.
Yeah.
That is very doable with this schedule. Obviously, some things need to happen on offense for them to sort of find a spark there to help that out. Defense needs to get their mojo back.
Yeah.
But this is a talented team, and they can win some games, and they can win the South.
Yeah.
That's still all in play. It's just how they're going to respond to this. And I think it helps that Dante is well-respected with his team. He, like you said, he has the confidence. I think he can get it done. And yeah, there's still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, definitely. And what's interesting is talking about the playing with house money thing, I think USC fans, even if it's a subpar season, the fact that Helton's gone, they're fine. You know, they're like, okay, well, there's a new page turned already. And even just like in the engagements of my tweets and my mentions, like people are just generally more happier. Like it's crazy just to see the turn. And I didn't realize how much the negativity not only affected me, but from team sources I've talked to, affected everyone. You know, this was kind of a human moment. The reckoning of like, okay, he's gone. People were kind of like, there's a sigh of like, okay, maybe like the harassment can kind of take a back seat now. And so it's just interesting to see fans support this team, because there was a part of this where fans have been hating Helton for so long that I was like, did they lose the plot? Like, do they forget that they like this team and that they're rooting right. for USC? But I'm a little shocked in how fast they're quickly behind the team again. So, and I think the boos in that sense that we heard on Saturday in the Coliseum did affect not only the team, but the admin. I think they were surprised by how loud the fans showed up in that sense. So I think that did ultimately impact the final decision.
I'm kind of bummed there isn't a home game this week, because I would be interested to see what the fan turnout would be, you know, if this was a home game. Yeah. I feel like, because just on the P alone, I kind of asked the question, like, now that Helton is gone, are you going to be more engaged in this season? And the response was overwhelmingly like, yes, I'm back in. I bought tickets to a game for the first time in like years. I'm going to Pullman with my kid or whatever. Wow, it's like, yeah. It's like crazy. And, you know, Dante said his expectation is to sell out the Coliseum for the rest of the year. So I'm really excited to see what that Oregon State game looks like.
Yeah.
I expect it's going to be a pretty good crowd, you know, that are going to come out and see this team, especially if they go into Washington State, they rebound, they handle business up there and come back with a home game. I think that's going to be a great atmosphere, maybe one of the best atmospheres we've seen in a while.
Yeah. And well, that's what was so interesting about Saturday. I thought it was a great atmosphere to start off. Mm-hmm. You know, they turned the lights off. The fans were really
into
it. Student
section was popping again.
And I was standing near athletic department officials, and they were kind of blown away by the response that the Coliseum had at the start of the game. And so if the fans can do that again, but multiply it against Oregon State, I think it would really send a message that like their apathy was really temporary and focused on one thing rather than they kind of lost sight of everything in this whole conundrum of the Helton era.
Right. The cloud is gone. The skies are clear. You can come out.
We'll see. We shall see.
I do. Obviously, Helton lost his job. It's tough.
Yeah.
But also all the people whose job was it to just reply to us, fire Helton, they lost their jobs too.
Thank goodness. I got to say, it was frustrating, honestly. Like, it's our job to cover this team. And like, I feel like people were kind of angry that we weren't doing it.
You could write a great story about something and then it'd just be like, fire Helton. Okay.
Who cares, fire Helton? Yeah. It's just like demoralizing. Yeah, and we're not even on the team. Right. Like,
we're not even on the team. You're right. And I'm just so excited to not have to deal with Helton questions during when Shotgun solicits questions for Family Feud.
Yeah.
RIP to those questions.
RIP.
See that you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to do that. Now, you mentioned Cloudy, the skies.
Cloudy, yes. Sorry, I thought you were referencing a character named Cloudy.
No.
Yeah.
Character in what?
I don't know.
Okay.
A children's show? Come on, there's going to be a Cloudy.
Sure.
I'm going to look it up while you ask me the question.
Okay, it will be cloudy and rainy in Pullman, Washington. Do you like that transition, that really hard transition?
Transitions are hard, and I think you succeeded with that one.
Thank you. It was just, what's the weird thing about these weeks, I say it like it's a reoccurring thing, but it has happened multiple times in my tenure as a reporter. When there's so much news, you forget like the minute details. Like I remember when Drake London was talking to the media about Clay Helton, I was just glancing down and his ankle was taped a ton. And in practice, we saw him look gimpy. Like he looked frustrated that he couldn't make the cuts he wanted to make. And my brain was like, ask him about his ankle. Don't ask him about his ankle. It's not appropriate right now. But like, there's still like game things that I want to cover, but it's like, there's so many more pressing things that it's like, how do you juggle all that? You know?
Dante Williams, what is the status of Nick Figueroa? Is he going to play? And he was dressed out.
But I heard from a source that part of Dante's thing as head coach is he wants everyone, whether you're going to practice or not going to practice, you're going to dress out in whatever the uniform is for that day. So now that makes our jobs harder, because usually it was easy to tell when guys came out with no pads or whatever. But that's kind of the new accountability thing we're hearing with Dante Williams. You know, you're going to be more united. And that's what he said after practice. He said, we want more accountability, whether that's punishing someone for a play, a quarter, a half, or a game. Like, he wants to get the team in line. And so I think that's something that's needed. And we've talked about it prior, maybe not let onto it as probably as much as we were hearing, but accountability has been an issue on the team. And that was just something that was lacking under Clay Helton. It's just he was, we all know, he was the coach's, the player's coach. You know, he was very friendly, but that also meant that some necessary discipline issues kind of fell by the wayside.
You get away with stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. And so that doesn't breed good team chemistry at the end of the day.
Right. That creates, I'm trying to think of the word, like
animosity.
If you see someone get away with stuff and then you don't get away with it, that's just going to, yeah. Like, why is this person getting special treatment?
Yeah.
Why does Shotgun get to show up late? And he, or not at all, and he gets official status membership, and I don't.
That's fair.
What's up with that?
I mean, I'm in a mood today, so I could just revoke his status and make you official.
Make him the interim. Put him on probation.
Okay. Sure.
You all heard it.
On the sideline. Any takeaways from Mike Bone, what we heard from him?
No, I mean, I feel like Mike Bone said everything that I expected him to say. You know, we're going to do national search. It's going to be exhaustive. He was asked about, you know, a timeline on it. But he says, you know, we have time. Obviously, it's not like the end of the season where you got early signing day coming up. They have a couple months, so they're going to take their time with it, which is what I expect. You know, he left the door open, obviously, for Dante to possibly, you know, come in and take that role or you know, maintain that.
Make it permanent.
Lose the interim tag, which is, you know, always the right move for an AD when you have an interim head coach. Always give them a chance. So, you know, he didn't really say anything that, like, shocked me about anything. It was more or less what I expected him to say.
Yeah, same. And Dante, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Dante was saying, he was asked about, do you have aspirations to make this a permanent role? And he said, I'm just worried about today, which mm-hmm. is understandable. I think it's an overwhelming thing to take over. And he was like, I just want to be 1-0 on the day. And that's kind of been his mantra so far. And I think that's there. I think both Bone and Williams are trying to kind of keep it in
day to day, practice per practice, bit in by bit, stuff like that. Yeah.
Because right now it's a lot. I think internally it's a lot to handle. Obviously, transitionally. Yeah. So
I think it'll be obviously a lot smoother in a couple weeks once everything gets smoothed out. But you know who's not 1-0 today?
Who?
Shotgun's 0-1 today. Shotgun, you're 0-1 today. You need big bounce back.
This is just a roast session. I love it.
Yeah, he's not gonna listen.
Whatever. I know he's not gonna listen. one more point before we do like a pseudo stock up, stock down portion quickly. I was really impressed with how USC's athletic department handled the firing. Like, I remember with Sark and whatnot, it trickled out and players were finding out through Twitter and whatnot. And it was a clear priority that this admin wanted the players to find out from Clay, from Mike Bone, and not have it kind of be this leak thing. But at USC, everything leaks. First mm-hmm. of all, the leaks have stopped a lot since Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna came in. But also, something like this is huge. And I was told that they like had to bring in people very slowly to make sure it didn't leak, and it didn't leak. The players found out from Clay Helton, and Helton apparently was gracious enough to talk to the team and tell them what was happening. And that's not really a thing that happens, you know, a head coach gets fired and then addresses the team, but apparently they had a moment, just Helton and the players. But I think it just speaks to how this admin really wants to do right by people and do right by the players. Like, they didn't want it to be some spectacle. And that's what I was told about the timing. You know, we had questions about why have Helton go out there in the Sunday night presser if you know that's going to happen. And basically what I was told was that, you know, the minute you change something in the schedule that's not normal, the whole thing, the whole rumor mill drama button gets pressed.
Just got to keep it on track.
And that's what have undermined what they ultimately wanted to do, which was protect the players and have them find out firsthand, you know? And so that's basically why they did what they did.
Yeah, and you could probably talk more about this, but it sounds like, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't done until like right before everything. It wasn't like done like 3 hours before practice, right? It was very like,
it was methodical.
Yeah.
There was a plan in place.
There was precision about it. Like, told Helton at this time, then you told Dante this time, and then you told everyone at this time within a span of like, I don't know, like
40 minutes, yeah, basically.
So
yeah.
Yeah. If you, the longer you do that, the more it's going to leak. So if you keep that window short, and then, and I believe Bone like thanked everyone about it, like it not being leaked or whatever.
Yeah. I think the admin's really proud of the fact that I think they see it as a testament to the people that they've hired and kept around them, that they value the ultimate goal rather than, you know, trying to get this out or being the one to like break the news via someone else, you know? So, I mean, honestly, that's a huge thing to pull off, especially because this is the story of the year for this department, you know? Maybe the story of the last couple of years, like when is he going to go? And he finally is gone. Oh,
absolutely. Gone. Easily.
And so, I mean, it kind of felt like, from what I've heard, like a spy mission of how they had to make sure everyone was on the same page and like things didn't leak and everything. But I think ultimately to do it in a, I would say, classy way, you know, so that Helton didn't find out somehow, or Dante didn't find out somehow, or the players, you know, I think ultimately I respect USC's athletic department for having that game plan and executing it. And I think they bought themselves a lot of goodwill with not only the players, but I think they really bought some goodwill around the sports community, because it's not, usually you don't handle things that cleanly, you know?
It was a nice bounce back from, what was it, 2 years ago or a year ago, where we had that window?
Oy, yeah.
Where you just did not know what
those
was going.
11 days.
Yeah. We need to make a documentary about those 11 days where it just felt like, it was just like so tense. Like you did not know what was going to happen. Recruits and their parents were like, what is happening? Like they're texting us like, what do we do? Like no one knew. It was just like this big void of like unknown.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. So this was a very stark contrast to that. It was like, we handled it. We knew what we were going to do. Let's do it.
And speaking of summoning news, that 11 day period, I remember being like, what if we just go to the movies? Like, that'll summon it.
Yeah, let's go to a poorly Wi-Fi, like wire.
Bad service area.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll trigger it.
Yeah. It, but that never happened.
Right.
Yeah. I think I went on a long drive and that's what did it. So there you go. That's the superstitious ways of being a reporter in college football. The craziness, the madness.
Also, update, Cloudy is a character from Adventure Time, so...
Okay, but I've never seen Adventure Time.
Okay, fair enough, but that is...
Also, why would I reference this on this pod? We reference weird things on this pod, so that's fine. Yeah. Okay, let's do a pseudo stock up, stock down segment. Chris, you actually texted Shotgun to give us his submissions.
His stonks.
Yeah. Would you
I don't know how you want me to handle those. I just wanted to look at them.
I just
want him to cry that he can't, because he was like fired up. He was like, I got stuff to say.
He was,
got stuff to say, folks, but not bad enough that you couldn't
set multiple alarms.
Yeah.
How about you say his stocks and I'll riff on them like I'm him.
Okay. Oh, okay. So we're doing up.
Yeah.
He has no neutral, obviously.
I think he submitted one. We just got a text from him that says stock neutral is very valid and right, and Keeley has been right this whole time.
Interesting. I'm not on that thread, so that will be interesting.
Maybe he just sent it to me.
Okay.
That
sounds accurate. Stock up. So you're blind to these. Oh, no, you see them.
I do see them.
Offensive line.
I actually agree with this.
I actually had this on mine, too.
Okay, so this is going to be like a group conversation. Yeah, this is a group. With the spirit of Shotgun Spratling. I think they're playing well. Sometimes they're not out physicaling,
yes.
How do you say it? Out physicaling.
I defer back to you.
See, you don't
out physicaling.
Don't dish it if you can't correct me.
I was just pointing out what you said. I cannot correct it.
They cannot be more sometimes they are not more physical than their opponent.
There, that's better.
I know, I'm trying to be articulate. But I don't think we're seeing just pure whiffs like we've seen in the past. We're not seeing like a guy gets untouched.
Big old whiff.
You know. So I think Clay McGuire has done a good job to at least improve that. I think Keenan has more time than we're used to him having.
Yeah.
It looks better. I think there's improvements. And still, the PFF grades are coming out. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, but Liam Jimmins, Andrew Voorhees, they're grading out well. And the last week, couple more guys graded out well too. So overall, I think that this has been an improvement for USC.
And it's great that it's 2 weeks into the season. You know, it's not like they struggled a lot in these first couple weeks. And then, you know, we've seen this sort of play in the middle of the season. It's early that they've looked really good. Or not really good, but they look good. And
solid.
Yeah, they look very solid. And that's a great sign for the long term of this offensive line. Like, you know, by like week eight, you know, they could be like locking it down. And obviously with two redshirt freshmen
that's
offensive tackles.
Say.
And there's been some switching. Obviously, Jonas played some left tackle. You brought in the senior Jalen McKenzie. The Justin Dietich thing experiment has been working. He's been doing great as a six-man, if you will, six-man starter off the bench. Relieving some guys, getting them some rest. So I think that's all working out really well. And yeah, stock up on the offensive line.
Yeah, especially like you said, considering that there are young guys at tackle, that's a good sign for sure.
I had stock up on Kyle Ford.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone but Drake London has like not really gone up in my book.
It's kind of
whatever.
Shaky.
It's kind of shaky. But, you know, Kyle Ford's a guy that we've been sort of like pounding the rock for. Like, I think him and John Jackson for me, I think like, get those guys out there.
Yeah.
Give them some burn, you know, and they got in really late of this Stanford blowout. And Kyle Ford looked great out there. He was playing like it was like fourth quarter of a 7-point game. He was out there trying to prove like, hey, I can be a guy. Gave me the ball. He almost scored.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he showed on a, obviously didn't get to play in week one. You talked to him about that. And then week two comes in at garbage time and kind of, obviously it's garbage time, but still.
Yeah.
Just give him some reps in the first quarter. You guys, you obviously need spark on this wide receiver unit. So he's a former five-star. I know he's had the knee issues, but give him the rock.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to him on Tuesday last week because I was just curious, like, is it still an injury thing? Are you waiting to get fully cleared for game time? And he said, no, I'm ready to go. He basically said he's 95%, but not enough. That 5% isn't enough to, like, limit him in that sense.
Right.
And he was like, to be honest, I expected to play against San Jose State. So he was like, it's not an injury thing. So it was kind of that little elephant in the room a little bit about, like, I didn't get playing time and I'm not sure why. So... something to watch for going forward for sure.
So I'm giving you one of his stocks now?
I guess. I mean, I can also chime in, but I figured we should give...
Do you have anything?
I am stocked down. I don't really have a lot of stock up.
Okay, that's fair. We're almost done.
Okay.
For him, he said fan support.
I would agree.
I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit. Student section has been...
Student section has shown out.
Super lit.
Yeah.
super lit so far. So kudos to them.
Yeah.
As someone who used to rank student sections when I was covering high school sports, when I would go to games, I'd do a ranking.
Okay.
I should bring that back and just do a ranking for them.
I wonder if there's anyone in the student section that actually listens to podcasts. If you somehow are, please tweet at us. I'm just curious.
What do you mean podcasts? This podcast.
This podcast,
You just made it like, I wonder if anyone listens to podcasts.
Well, I don't know if like... I'm acting like I'm 50 years old, but like I don't know if that demographic listens to podcasts, even though at that age I listen to podcasts.
It's all Barstool.
It's Barstool. What?
It came out weird. I thought you were going to let it go, but you didn't. So Barstool. Barstool. Shopkeep, bring me that Barstool.
Is this when you tell the people about how you do a 1920s radio announcer at practice sometimes?
Yeah, I'm not ready to like break that out yet, but when we're up in the pool deck and we have scout defense going against offense like right under us, I like to do like 1920s calls on the plays. So
it's pretty entertaining, I'll say that.
Yeah,
we don't get a taste of it. You don't get to show the people.
No, I'll wait till like shotguns here or something. Okay. To kind of, it's not obviously perfect.
Okay.
But it all is on the spot, so
yeah,
you can tell it's on the spot. But I'll save
okay.
that.
Okay,
for
we'll just give a little
line.
Tease.
Yeah,
little tease. What else do you have on stock up?
We both had, or not, I'm pointing to shotgun.
Yes.
Solomon Tulia Pupu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got in for a play, a single play on a punt return. But man, that's just so great to see. Obviously, week one was the first time he's ever been dressed out for
Full
a USC
uniform.
Game.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, his first play ever as a USC Trojan. Again, continues to look really strong in scout team. He
Tuesday on scout team.
He not blew up, but he popped the crap out of Keontae Ingram on when he was coming in on a blitz, and Keontae was like,
okay,
stunned by Levin. Yeah. He gave him a little bit like a pat on the like, yeah, you got me there. You came in.
Yeah.
So you know, I talked to a source that said the plan was for him to play more,
okay,
a little bit more than he did, but they'll take the one play. So hopefully
progress.
You know, that is just huge alone.
Yeah.
Just to get him on the field.
Yeah.
So super happy for him. I'm not making any secrets about it that I'm rooting hard for Solo. I've known him. He's someone I met, one of the first recruits I ever really like interviewed.
Wow.
When I started covering recruiting and started working at 247. So I've known him a long time, known his family a long time. So really excited to see him out there. Hopefully, you know, we keep building on that. And, you know, I think he could play some defense this year. You know, by the end, I think that's what the goal is. So even just special teams this year, but I think that could be an attainable goal.
Just the fact, 58. Sorry about this.
No,
just the fact that he participated on Saturday and then was still a menace on scout teams on Tuesday was huge for me, because I was like, okay, maybe he might have to take a step back, or who knows.
I was a little worried on Tuesday because I didn't see him.
We didn't see it, yeah.
But to be fair, the jerseys were swapped, so we were very confused. And it was like Dante's first day, so it was like a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. There's a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, so, but I saw him fully dressed. Obviously, we just mentioned, made a great play in scouts. So
yep,
he was out there, was a little bit worried for a second. I was like, I don't see Solo. But he was out there, so. Yep.
And that was
to him.
Yeah, that was also on Shotgun Stock Up. So yep. Do you have any more stock up?
I think that's about it. I actually got rid of some.
Oh.
Because obviously things have changed. I had stock up on the hot seat. But now it's stock down on
yeah,
the hot
that's
seat because
the most stock
it's
down.
Cool now.
Oh, it's.
I would say stock up on Dante Williams.
Yeah.
Just because he's getting this opportunity.
National profile now?
National profile. He's already been obviously regarded as a top 5 recruiter in the country.
Yeah.
He's never been a coordinator, so this is like not a massive jump, but it is a jump for him, so he's going to have an opportunity to prove himself.
Yeah.
So just a great opportunity for him and his family, you know, first African American coach at USC, so
huge.
You know, big history right there. So, you know, you can't not put Dante Williams on stock up. So,
that's a good point.
That's probably the only one I would just add
yeah.
out there.
No, I think that's a good point indeed. Also, it was a weird, came out of my mouth weird.
Also,
Michael Hutchings, stock up for him.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You take it away. You broke that story.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that came out quickly in the aftermath of the Helton stuff. And I guess no one really, like, that's not like something that really matters in the moment. But like, obviously, there's only 9 full-time coaches with Clay gone. You want to get that 10th spot. You don't want to be, you know,
down a coach
the whole season. You know, they can do full-time recruiting. They can travel the games and stuff. Or like recruiting trips and stuff. So, you know, I think that makes sense. Michael Hutchings, the former standout linebacker, he's going to be working with the linebackers. I watched them a little bit. It looks like he's like more like in the group doing the stuff. And then Orlando's more like on the outside watching and like
mm-hmm.
giving coaching and stuff from the outside while Hutchings is actually in there. So great opportunity for him. I know he got a little bit of maybe... Some other schools were looking at him for a full-time position on their staff, but he, you know, came back. So this would be a great opportunity to showcase what he can do.
Yeah, definitely a good trial run for him in that sense.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Shaq and I were talking about it. We've basically covered his whole career,
right.
So it's fun to see guys elevate in their career and stuff like that. So he's always been a really nice guy. So happy for him about that. I just don't have stock neutral. Even though Shotgun was like, please represent stock neutral. I don't like, I guess the only thing I would say stock neutral is maybe accountability. And it's neutral in the sense that it's been an issue. And I think with Dante coming in, it's going to try to be fixed. So I can't say it's really stock up, but it's stock neutral, I would say.
I don't really have anything to add with that because I'm like, I still haven't officially chosen what team I'm on. And I won't. Until I'm official member.
Well, I feel like you're not trying to pick because you don't want to offend me if you don't pick stock neutral, because I do have powers that decide your future.
Like magic powers?
Yeah.
Oh. So are you saying I'm neutral on the idea of picking a side?
You're stock neutral.
It's
about
too
stock
meta.
Neutral.
That's too meta.
Okay.
I hate that I did that.
Okay. Stock down. Who you got?
Do you want me to go to shotguns or do you want me to go?
You go first.
I had pass rush.
Yes. Yes.
Good because point. It's 2 weeks in. I was very high on this defensive line. I still am, but no sacks in 2 weeks. Yeah. And I know Orlando mentioned it week one. It's like people get caught up in sacks, but like sacks are important. They're big plays. Yeah. They're negative plays. They can lead to turnovers and stuff like that. So, you know, it worked in week one just because Starkle was clearly getting off his spot. They picked off two passes, but McKee was just a lot of time back there.
Yeah.
Picking apart with that secondary. You know,
you saw what that did, not having that pressure on him.
Yeah.
It really strained USC secondary.
Yeah. I mean, and Corey Foreman only played like less than five snaps, so he couldn't really give that five-star pass rush that, you know, he had in high school. And Drake Jackson, you know, he does have the interception, but not a sack this season, obviously. And, you know,
he said it was his money year.
Said it was his money year, and, you know, still a lot of games left. Yes. He could go on a run, but they need to figure out something in that pass rush. And, you know, it doesn't help that Nick Figueroa has been banged up with a shoulder injury. He missed the second half again. So he's only played essentially one game of football in two weeks. So, you know, he was a sack leader last year, so that's a big blow. So pass rush.
Yeah.
Stock down.
Yeah. I had stock down in just a similar vein on USC's corners. That's something where I think we expected them to play better. And this was the interesting thing. Hearing Dante Williams on Trojans Live, he was like, this was the first time in my career that I've been in the box at USC. Usually he's on the field. And Nivar is kind of the secondary coach that's on the field, or at least has been, in this defensive staff configuration. And so obviously Dante's going to move down to the field. But I feel like that was kind of a wasted opportunity, not having Dante on the field, because Saturday is the perfect example where having Dante down there would really help. We see in practice how hands-on he is, how technical he is when he coaches. And so there's only so much you can convey over a phone, yeah. You know? And so I think guys just look turned around. I mean, Isaac Taylor Stewart was getting picked on.
Literally turned around.
Turned around. He was getting picked on. And I think having Dante on the field would have done something. It would have improved something. It had to, because he wouldn't let that slide if he was like physically there. So to me, stock down on the corners, stock down on not utilizing your talent basically to its best ability, meaning Dante. I think, you know, and now I don't know the dynamics of how it works and Nivar is better calling things on the field or whatever. I don't know the internal dynamics, so maybe I'm just being critical for no reason. But I do think Saturday is a perfect example why a coach who is very hands-on and has been on the field his whole coaching tenure should be on the field still.
Yeah, and he kind of gave an example of it. Like, he likes looking in a player's eyes. He likes seeing, when he does that, he can see what's going on with them. Like, you know, do they look like a deer in the headlights? Are they shell-shocked? Do they look like a lost dog or something? That's what his quote was. Or can he see in their face, like, yeah, I made a mistake, but I'm ready to go out there and compete again. He can see that. You can't get that on the phone. He likes to see that on the field. So, you know, maybe he would have seen something like that if he looked in the eyes of his quarterbacks out there. Maybe would have made a switch a little bit more, because I don't think the backups played a lot based off shotgun snaps. It was a lot of ITS in Chris Steele.
Yeah.
Not as much in week one, where Jaden Williams and Josh Jackson got a lot more burn. So I can sympathize with Dante Williams, because I'm kind of the opposite. I'm used to my whole career in the box, and I got put on the field, and it's like,
you did a great job. I saw it in your eyes. Yeah. You were ready to play.
Thank you. But I could also, just by the way he said it, I feel like he did not like being up in the box.
It seemed a little.
You're going to put me in the box. Okay, but my heart's on the sideline. That's kind of felt. He's like super happy to be back. That was my interpretation.
That was me this season. I was in the box for 2020, and now I'm back on the field.
You're going in the box.
Yeah, I'm going for Pullman. I'm going in the box. But this is the one time where I'm going to be like, I'll take it, because it's supposed to be like there's a 90% chance of rain. So
that's
fine. That's fine by me. Also, for the cornerbacks, stock down for costly penalties. And there were points where Chris Steele kind of did the cornerback braggy thing.
Celebrate.
Yeah, which kind of doesn't sit right when you're getting blown out.
I'm going to start doing that after grid points I make.
Do it.
Like every time shotgun says, it's a good point.
You just did it. You got to describe what you're doing.
Oh, you know, like the...
Incomplete.
Like incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you're
yes.
A bird.
Specifically,
but yes.
They had three very costly penalties on one drive.
Yes.
That
Can't let that happen.
One was on a third down.
Yeah.
One was negated a big hit by Kalen Bullock.
That was a crispy hit.
Sticks with a stick.
Crispy.
And then one that reset them to go for it on, made a 4th-and-7 or something, make it like a 4th-and-2. And they were like, you know what? Let's go for it. Punch it in. 4-point swing. So
yeah.
Not a great showing.
No. Shotgun also had stock down for the secondary.
Yeah. So
that's one of them. He also had stock down for tight end production. Now, this is where we can't go fully shotgun-y.
We can't do the shotgun thing.
Yeah, we can't. I'm sorry. But he did kind of give us a preview in practice when he was talking about it. Apparently, and the numbers will come out soon, I think, based on when he gets it up. But when USC had 2 tight end sets on the field, they did not produce well. Apparently, they're...
To quote him, they were poopy.
Is that what he said?
No.
Okay.
But I think...
That's a misuse of to quote him.
Yeah. Degree or not degree?
I think he said when they were in 22 personnel, they averaged like 2 yards a play.
Yeah, something
not
like
great.
That.
Not great.
Not great. So. No.
So, yeah.
After what was a weird week one where there was a lot of tight ends, they scored a touchdown. And it seemed like the numbers backed up. They were kind of good in that personnel. And then it just like take a step back. So
not great.
Clear stock down.
In that sense, I had stock down for Graham Harrell and his scheme.
Yeah.
I think this is finally the turning point where I think collectively we're all like, what's going on with this? You know, it's year three. You have year three quarterback, Keaton Slovis, who he loves, you know, like that's his guy. And yet it's not looking like.
And he seemed to have a decent O-line this year.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah.
A run game that's like.
Functioning.
Functioning, yes. Has a pulse.
Yeah. And like I said last week, it's labored. It's clunky. It's not even like a well-functioning offense at this point, let alone an air raid, you know, where it's like we're going to score at least 40-ish points a game.
Yeah.
You know?
They had 13 points
through
the third.
It is struggling. And I don't know if they have the answers for that.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Graham Harrell after the game, and it was odd. He kind of basically blamed it on the players. Now, looking back at the film, there were times when guys let go of their blocks early, and that's something that he talked about. He talked about how it seemed like the Stanford defense wanted it more than the offense at times, USC's offense. And there were times where that showed up on film. But at the same time, like, that can't be... If that's one game and your offense is functioning perfectly every other game, like, that's a valid excuse. But if it's just not overall functioning well, like... I just thought it was kind of odd that he basically there. I just felt like there was not really a lot of accountability taken, or at least spreading the blame also on his coaching staff. You know, I thought it was a little odd just hearing how much it was placed on the players.
Is it struggling enough to where you're like, does it remind you of a nice gumbo soup?
I think
are we at that point yet?
I think someone on the P said it's gumbo raid.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, like, now correct me if I'm wrong. You saw every play, snap, anything in fall camp. You had eagle eye.
More or less.
What we're seeing in games, I don't think reflects exactly what we saw in fall camp. Like, splitting out the tight ends, like, stuff like that. I felt like we saw a lot more wide receiver action than we did necessarily tight ends.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It just there's something where it feels a little different from what we were seeing for the past like 4 weeks.
Well, we saw like a lot of different receivers in there.
Yeah.
But here we don't see in games we don't see a lot of receivers.
Yeah, that's what's weird.
We saw a little bit more this week.
Yeah.
But not the ones I've been advocating for.
Yes.
So did it change? I don't know. Obviously, they got Manjack a little bit more involved. Trigg got his first catch.
Yeah.
It seems like they're really trying to push Trigg now.
Yeah,
because they need playmakers.
But the playbook is a question mark for him right now. You can kind of see. I mean, like sometimes he needed to get lined up. Like people were adjusting where he was. So,
wasn't there a timeout burned?
I don't think for Trey, no. But overall, I just think like the tight ends are getting much more prominence than I guess I think we saw in fall camp. I don't know. It feels different. You know, and I thought, okay, maybe this is a San Jose State thing. They don't want to show everything. But then it was like, okay, you're losing to Stanford. Why not open it up a little bit more, you know?
Right.
So one more stock down via shotgun. He had stock down on special teams. I think that's self-explanatory. I also didn't think we would see the same number on special teams twice. The Greg Johnson and Gary Bryant issue. But we did. So apparently it's not just beholden to John Baxter.
I do love an oversized jersey on a smaller guy. So
true.
And I would say stock up on Alex Stadhouse, who came in and did his job.
True.
That's good. I got to talk to him. He was very excited for, you know, what he did on Saturday. Come in, hit his first two field goals of his career. Stepped in when a guy was cliche, you know, next man up. But
he personified
that on Saturday. So
I love it when guys get like the full media scrum attention when they don't normally. I was like, you go, Alex Stadhouse.
I will never turn down talking to a kicker after whatever.
Because you're a former kicker.
As a former kicker, you know, got to show
like
kicker
a whole
love.
Alliance.
Yeah,
kicker Not love. Not the alliance, but a different alliance.
Got to look out for each other.
Yeah.
Got to kick each other's backs.
Totally.
It's a kicker thing. Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah,
so.
I wouldn't.
Kick
I
each
would.
Other's backs.
Got it.
If you got any former kickers, like, you
tweeted
know.
Us. Yeah, tweet us. Hashtag kick each other's backs.
Kick each other's backs. They know. The real ones know.
Okay, Chris. This was, like I said at the top of the show, this was an audible, weird show. Sorry that it wasn't like the most like professional, formatted, observational.
Don't apologize.
I don't know. I feel like some people are like,
this is our show. We can do what we want.
This is our show. We can do what we want to. That was a Miley Cyrus reference, and I probably should cut that out.
No, leave it in. Serves the point.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, this is not how it's always going to be, but it's madness right now. It's always madness when a coach gets fired midseason, let alone week 2/3. We're running on a little sleep. This was just our initial observations of the last 24 hours. Post Clay Helton, the Dante Williams era is now in effect. Any final thoughts, Chris, before we wrap up this Audible podcast? Audibled?
No, I just think, you know, leaving on Saturday, there was like, you could feel like that low point. But now it's like, I don't know, fresh and new. It's like, it feels like hope a little bit for fans. And there's like a renewed energy, like you talked about with like on social media and like the peristyle people are engaged in the season again. So for us, it's going to be a interesting season to cover.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Never a dull moment at USC.
Yeah. I mean, this team could go 6-6 and it'd still be an eventful season to cover. Or they could run the table, win the Pac-12 South and go to the championship. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting just because of all the craziness and, you know, a new era of USC football is upon us. So
crazy. It's still sinking in.
Yeah.
It's very odd. But we're here. We're here. So we'll cover it. We'll stay tuned to our coverage. We're trying to give you everything that we've got to cover this new era. It's interesting.
And join the Peristyle. 60% off.
Boom, boom.
Annual membership. That's like $4 a month for a whole year.
Yeah.
Well, per month for a year. You know what I'm saying. But join in right now. You know, the head coaching sale we have.
Yeah.
Our hot board's up.
Hot board.
Should be a lit war room. So get in there.
Get in there.
Get in there. So, yeah, you can find that sale link on our site, uscfootball.com. So this is me making the plug.
Plug, plug.
As the plug, as the content plug. So
you are.
There you go.
What did you call yourself earlier? The battle general?
Because
you were stunned?
The field general, I think.
Field general.
I don't
know if I like that.
Never mind. Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Well, you're the cousin of the pod. Content in chief. I like that. Nice. Yeah. Okay. That's going to wrap up an interesting podcast, a unique podcast, but it's a unique week. Alrighty. We'll talk to you guys next time. Hopefully, we'll have a regular family feud next week. Let's bank on that. Hopefully. Everyone together. Collectively cross your fingers and send an alarm clock to Shotgun Spratley. Alrighty. That's going to wrap it up. That's Cousin of the Pod, Chris Trevino. I'm Keely Orr. We'll see y'all next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.